So if I've got my notes right, Peter's reading for us this morning. Is that right, Peter? And he's making his way here. So we'll just... I'll do my little bit of cleaning. Thank you, Peter.
I was the third reserve. The Old Testament reading this morning is from Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 to 16 and 20 to 24. 17 to 19 have been redacted. Ezekiel 34, commencing at verse 11. I, the sovereign Lord, tell you that I myself will look for my sheep and take care of them in the same way as shepherds take care of their sheep that were scattered and are brought together again. I will bring them back from all the places where they were scattered on that dark, disastrous day. I will take them out of foreign countries, gather them together, and bring them back to their own land. I will lead them back to the mountains and the streams of Israel, and will feed them in pleasant pastures. I will let them graze in safety in the mountain meadows and the valleys, and in all green pastures of the land of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will find them a place to rest. I, the sovereign Lord, have spoken. I will look for those that are lost, bring back those that wander off, bandage those that are hurt, and heal those that are sick. But those that are fat and strong I will destroy, because I am a shepherd who does what is right. Verses 17 to 19 mention the sorting of the sheep from the goats. From verse 20, so now I, the sovereign Lord, tell you that I will judge between you strong sheep and the weak sheep. You push the sick ones aside and butted them away from the flock. But I will rescue my sheep and not let them be ill-treated any more. I will judge each of my sheep and separate the good from the bad. I will give them a king like my servant David to be their one shepherd, and he will take care of them. I, the Lord, will be their God, and a king like my servant David will be their ruler. I have spoken. The New Testament readings from St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. When the Son of Man comes as king and all the angels with him, he will sit on his royal throne, and the people of all the nations will be gathered before him. Then he will divide them into two groups, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the righteous people on his right and the others on his left. Then the king will say to the people on his right, come, you that are blessed by my Father, come and possess the kingdom which has been prepared for you ever since the creation of the world. I was hungry, and you fed me. Thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you received me in your homes. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. In prison, and you visited me. The righteous will then answer him, when, Lord, did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we ever see you a stranger and welcome you in our homes, or naked and clothe you? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? The king will reply, I tell you, whenever you did this for one of the least important of these members of my family, you did it for me. Then he will say to those on his left, away from me, you that are under God's curse. Away to the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, but you would not feed me. Thirsty, but you would not give me a drink. I was a stranger, but you would not welcome me in your homes. Naked, but you would not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, but you would not take care of me. Then they will answer him, "When, Lord, did we ever see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and would not help you?" The king will reply, "I tell you, whenever you refused to help one of these least important ones, you refused to help me." These then will be sent off to eternal punishment, but the righteous will go to eternal life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Peter, for sharing those readings with us this morning. As we begin, I want to share with you a couple of words from Paul's letter to the people in Ephesus, where in the first part of the first chapter of what we have of that letter, after talking about the way he prays in gratitude and thanks for the richness of their faith, he then says, "I ask that your minds may be opened to see his light, so that you will know what is the hope to which he has called you, how rich are the wonderful blessings he promises his people, and how very great is his power at work in us who believe. This power working in us is the same as the mighty strength which he used when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right side in the heavenly world. Christ rules above all heavenly rulers, authorities, and powers and lords. He has a title superior to all titles of authority in this world and the next." It's a remarkable statement, isn't it? When Paul says to those that are reading his letters, "The same power is at work in you, in each of you, in each of us, that was at work when Christ was raised from the dead." You want to sit with that thought for a moment? Does it actually fit inside your head? I'm not sure it fits inside mine. Sort of blows my mind, literally. The idea that the same power, the same work is taking place in my life, in your life, is the same as that power that was at work when Christ was raised from the dead. There's some responsibility that comes with that, I think, but there's also a tremendous encouragement and joy that goes with it too. But in these two readings, so I want you to just keep that in the back of your mind, because in these two readings that we've heard today, there's a lot of similarities, but certainly we're revisiting this image of the shepherd, which comes through over and over and again in both the Old and the New Testament. And certainly not long before this in our service, we read together the Lord's Prayer. Were there not incredible echoes of that prayer in this passage from Ezekiel? Where the God says, "I, the Lord, will tell you that I will look after my sheep and take care of them in the same way as a shepherd takes care of the sheep. I'll lead them back to the mountains and the streams where they'll feed them in pleasant pastures." It's all that idea that comes through in the Lord's Prayer and the 23rd Psalm, just coming through this incredible way that God is going to lead and care for us, but also call us close. One of the other great passages that I love from the scriptures is where God, through Jesus, promises us that we'll be never left orphaned, is the language that comes through in some of the older versions of the scriptures. In some of the newer ones, it talks about never being left alone. But while we sit with this idea of shepherd and sheep and Christ being with us and is connected to family and those sorts of things, I had a very short video that I had hoped to share, but it was sent to me on Instagram and I couldn't work out how to create it in a way that I could share with you. And it came from my sister. And my sister has, who I have great delight in telling her now that she's over 50, right? She doesn't really like that very much. But I quite enjoy reminding her about that. She reminded me very quickly that I'm now over 60, right? So we're sort of even as far as that's concerned. But Wendy always collected orphan animals. Always. From the time she was really tiny, she'd bring home magpies with broken wings. You know, Mum, can we look after this? You know, or anything that she could find. Can we keep it? Didn't matter if it was the next door neighbour's cat or whatever it was. Can we keep it, right? But she's now in the wonderful situation where her husband is the director of, or the head agricultural teacher in a nearby high school. And every so often, the sheep have triplets. And if you know much about sheep, you'll know that they'll manage two but not three. So there's always one that's orphaned. So she has, living at her house at the moment, a lamb, along with two cats and two dogs, right? The lamb wanders around inside the house with a nappy on, so it doesn't make a mess inside, right? She's thought all this through, little hole in the nappy to pull the tail through, right? The whole thing. But it's at the point now of being put back with the rest. And this little Instagram video shows Wendy walking out to one side of the paddock and calling this lamb. And the video is of the lamb running to her, bleating, you know, calling out. Just in the same way you might call a dog across the backyard. It's incredible. But this image of God as shepherd, as Jesus as shepherd for us, calling us by name. And the wonderful thing in this little video, and it would have been a little bit hard to see because it only goes for about 5 seconds, is that this little animal just gallops towards her. You can almost see the joy in its face. It's you, it's you, it's you. When we recognize God around us, do we respond that way? Do we run into God's arms? Eager to be with God in every moment, to be God's person in every moment, to offer ourselves quite completely. The wonderful songs that I've seen you enjoy singing so much this morning, that's what they're saying. We're saying we want to gallop into God's arms, we want to be completely at God's disposal. We pray and ask God to use us in incredible ways. In almost every song we sing, every week we talk about that. Today when we celebrate Christ the King, we're realizing that what that means is to submit our will to God's will. And when we look at the example that Jesus set for us, we see that there are times, and we know particularly the one, if you're thinking of the same way as me, of that time in the garden when it was about to cost him his life. And those incredible words that bring exactly this idea into focus. When Jesus pleads with God for another way, and yet after pleading in such a way that it caused him his perspiration to mingle with drops of blood, Jesus says, "Not my will, but yours be done." Whatever this might cost me, Jesus says, I will bend my will to yours. Folks, when we talk about a sovereign Lord, when we talk about allowing Christ to have dominion over our lives, when we talk in the language of baptism about dying to self and rising to life in Christ, this is exactly what we're talking about. The whole idea that our will be subservient to the will of Christ, the will of God in our lives. Discipleship is a phrase that we use in the church a great deal. And sometimes it loses its weight because it gets used so much. And yet it's an incredible word. The whole idea of discipleship is about being a follower, is about allowing ourselves to be led by Jesus, about giving up something of our own choice to be self-determinant and asking Christ to make decisions for us. that we'll take the decisions that Christ would have us take, in other words. Someone described it to me once a long, long time ago as though pulling up in your car and then moving into the passenger seat and saying to someone else, "You drive and I'll go wherever you want to take me." That very much an idea that we give over the steering wheel of our lives to Jesus Christ so that all that can happen. Now, people of faith come to all sorts of conclusions about all sorts of things, about what should be the priorities in their life. But discipleship is all about following Jesus' example. It's about living our lives as Jesus' representatives in the world. It's also about dedicating ourselves to learning as much about God, Jesus, Creator, Holy Spirit, as much as we can so that we can make godly decisions in every aspect of our lives. And people of faith come to all sorts of different conclusions about all sorts of things when it comes to some of those priorities, whether it's the environment or the distribution of wealth, healthcare, education, parenting, politics, you name it. The list goes on and on. But that does not automatically mean that one is striving to be faithful and led by the Spirit and the other is not, just because they come to different conclusions about those things. Part of our strength as a community is that we are different. Part of our strength as a community of faith is that we apply that difference in all of those different places, but still giving the opportunity to draw people towards Christ. In fact, given what Jesus says about judging one another when we look through the scriptures, the best possible position that we can ever take is in fact that everyone is making their best effort to be faithful at all times, and that we encourage them to find and display that in any way that they can. The key to being a faithful disciple, as we said before, is to submit our will to God. We find ourselves in a strange place where we submit ourselves to one who comes to serve and save. Because those people who committed themselves to following Jesus, when they met in the upper room, he took the bowl and washed their feet. It's no wonder they got confused. We're supposed to be following you and serving you, and then you want to serve us. However, a key question that I have for you is those wonderful familiar themes that come through in Ezekiel that remind us about all those promises that God makes about where he will lead us to places of renewal. And in that, we find and discover how to live as God's people. You may remember a few months back now, one of the readings that we shared and looked at was about a person who's a parable Jesus had shared about a place where people had come and sowed weed amongst someone's wheat. Do you remember that story? And the people come, the servants come from the field and they go, "There's this strange thing that's growing amongst your wheat. It looks like wheat, but it's not quite. Should we tear it up and get rid of it?" And the wisdom of the property owner was, "No, let them grow together and we'll sort it out at the end." It's in Matthew 13, if you want to go back and have a look at it. And very much that's the idea that we see coming through in the gospel reading today as Jesus talks about the sheep and the goats. That there's a sorting out that will come. And according to that story, it happens by how we engage, how generously we engage with the people around us. And that can be physically, it can be spiritually, it can be just in terms of how we engage with forgiveness in terms of the people around us. There's a lot of significance in this story. The critical point, though, is that Jesus is saying, whenever you do anything for anyone, it's the same as doing it for me. And the crunch is, of course, is that whenever we choose not to do those things, whatever it might be for anyone else, we're actually choosing not to do that for Christ. when Mother Teresa was engaged with conversations about the work that she did amongst the slums of Calcutta, amongst the poorest of the poor. She was asked a number of times, how do you do this? And how do you manage to engage with people who just seem to be almost on the rubbish heap of life? And her response was simply to say, I find myself caring and reaching out to Jesus in some of his most disgusting of disguises. Isn't that a remarkable statement? In a sense, she's saying, I realise that these people are hard to be with, but in them I see Jesus. Now remember, Mother Teresa came from a very wealthy family. She wasn't a poor person herself. She hadn't been saved by the church. She was born into wealth, position and privilege, but chose to accept that that was where God was leading her. It's a remarkable story if you haven't explored her life. But she saw Jesus in the least of those around her. In the early chapters of Matthew, we find a conversation that leads through a genealogy that leads to Mary and Joseph, the nativity story, the flight to Egypt, the introduction of John the Baptist, the baptism and then temptation, after which Jesus begins to call his disciples and he offers the Sermon on the Mount and talks about being salt and light. This story that we've heard today about the sorting of the sheep and the goats is the last teaching that Jesus does in Matthew's Gospel. If you look ahead in the chapters that follow from what we've read today, you'll see virtually the next thing that comes is the Last Supper. There's one or two things in between, but this is the last teaching that he does. And I think it's placed there by Matthew quite strategically. It seems to make a lot of sense to me anyway, that Matthew begins by talking about the Sermon on the Mount and finishes once again with this last story about teaching, about serving other people as though we were serving Christ himself. I was hungry and you fed me, thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you received me in your homes. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Echoes are also there from the beginning of Luke's gospel where Jesus declares, I have come, Luke chapter 4, to proclaim the good news to the poor, to release the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, free the oppressed, and proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. In other words, to talk about forgiveness. A lot of these ideas are summed up in this particular story that we hear today, the sorting of the sheep and the goats. I believe that this is the one that we are called to serve, the one that we are called to emulate, to be like. For our church to be seen to be like Jesus as well, then we need to strive to be this way. One of the incredible things from a World Cup of Rugby League a few years ago, you may remember us talking about it at the time, was the Fijian team, who sang before and after every game. They sang a hymn. They were putting their faith on a world stage in a way that no one really expected. But the song they sang was, there has never been a day like this. There has never been an hour like this, and there has never been a time like this. To serve the Lord was the song that they sang. Of all the things that could be sung on international TV in the middle of a football in the middle of a football tournament, every game they played, this song was sung, and it really gathered a lot of momentum. Folks, the same is true for us. Whatever may have happened before, whatever might happen in the future, there has never been a day like this, I believe. To serve the Lord, to make ourselves known as God's people, and to allow others come to know and understand who Jesus is too. Let's allow Jesus always to be Lord of our lives, which means that we willingly make ourselves known. Christ's subject. Amen.